Welcome to the Zephyr Hills Alliance Church podcast, where two pastors process the context of church and the practice of discipleship. And we talk a lot about music. I'm Pastor Christian, and with me is Pastor Ted.
Hi, everyone.
Today, we're talking about the Holy Spirit and how important he is to the disciple of Jesus. We respond to a passage from John 14, and Ted and I both share songs we wrote a long time ago. One episode, two songs. Thanks for joining us. This is episode 8. Have you ever been to court, Ted?
I've been summoned for jury duty.
You've had a jury duty before?
Well, yeah, I've had to go and wait till they call you to interview, but I never got chosen.
Okay.
Thankfully.
Why thankfully? You don't want to be on a jury?
I don't want to be on a jury.
Mm-hmm.
I always remember my dad was a blue-collar worker. What he did was he dressed up in a Sunday suit, wore that big old fat tie, you know, in the suit, and grabbed the family Bible, you know, one of the Bibles that were this
huge,
3 feet by 4 feet wide, you know, you'd bring. And he said, I want you to know I have two sons that are pastors and are in the ministry. And they said, thank you, sir. Your service is no longer needed. And they dismissed him.
They didn't want him, huh?
They didn't want him.
Why is that?
He loved it.
That was like always his strategy?
That was his strategy. He loved it because he said, my boys got me out of doing jury duty because he didn't want to do jury duty.
But why do you think they didn't want him to? Why is the fact that he had two pastors make him a bad candidate?
I think because of the religious factor or something. Maybe because
he cares more about this than the law.
Yeah, or he's got the Bible. My dad, at that point, he didn't care what they thought. He got off, and he
never
was
had to do it.
Happy.
Wow.
Over that.
I have never been summoned for jury duty.
Yeah.
I did have to go to court one time. I got pulled over for speeding, and I thought it was unjust. And so I decided I'm going to go to court. And my friends are like, half the time the cop doesn't even show up. So I was like, okay, great. So I go. There's a bunch of us in there. You know, it's a small, like, courtroom. But the judge who's there to hear everybody's case goes around the circle and is like, listen, if you plead guilty and just accept whatever it is, I will be lenient. And if not, we're going to have a problem, was kind of the way that she, her vibe. And so everybody before me, guilty, guilty, guilty. And it gets to me and I go, not guilty. She's like, okay. So then they go around and they do everybody's thing. Then the judge gets to me and she goes, okay, what do you want me to hear? I got to tell you, I was nervous because she was like, she had already told us, don't say not guilty.
Right.
But the whole reason I was there is I had this sense of injustice. You know, I was getting onto the interstate. I was pulling on an on-ramp. And so he pulls me over. And I said, oh, well, it wasn't posted on the ramp. You know, there was no speed limit posted on the ramp. And he goes, yeah, there was. You know, I was 21 years old. I went back the day before court with my video camera and I went up the ramp and I said, see, it's not posted. But when I got to that courtroom, I was like, I'm not bringing out the video camera. Felt so like intimidated.
Yeah.
So I tried to explain it to them and they were like, yeah, it was, you just missed it. And they just fined me. They didn't charge me extra. I had to pay the court fee plus speeding
the fine
or whatever. Yeah. Speaking of court, today we're going to get into a scripture that uses the word advocate. It's a word that I associate with court, but we're going to get into what that word means. And let's just jump right into our scripture today. John 14, 12 to 21. I tell you the truth. Anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done, and even greater works, because I am going to be with the Father. You can ask for anything in my name, and I will do it, so that the Son can bring glory to the Father. Yes, ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. If you love me, obey my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate, who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit, who leads into all truth. The world cannot receive him, because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him. But you know him, because he lives with you now, and later will be in you. No, I will not abandon you as orphans, I will come to you. Soon, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Since I live, you also will live. When I am raised to life again, you will know that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Those who accept my commandments and obey them are the ones who love me. And because they love me, my Father will love them, and I will love them and reveal myself to each of them. John 14, 15, and 16 is where we get a lot of our theology of the Holy Spirit from the words of Jesus. Of course, Paul and the apostles go on to develop that theology further. John 16, you get a sense of the ministry of the Holy Spirit, but here in John 14 is what we call the promise of the Holy Spirit. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate. That's a Greek word that a lot of people know, parakletos. A lot of translations will say helper. King James used to say comforter. And if you look up that word now, I mean, all of those definitions are kind of present. Someone to help you, someone to advocate for you, someone to comfort you. And these are where we get some of our ideas about the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, verse 17, he is the Holy Spirit who leads you into all truth, you know, who guides you into all truth. So when I think of comforter, think of advocate, someone who is giving leadership in my life, who's giving me guidance in my life. So I can go to the Holy Spirit and inquire that guidance, that instruction, which is so helpful.
Yeah. On either side of this, you see the ask for anything in my name, I'm going to be with the Father. And then if you love me, obey my commandments. I'm with the Father will love you. It's very relational. Christ's relationship to the Father, our relationship to Christ, and the Holy Spirit is somehow involved in that.
I am in the Father, Jesus says. And then Jesus says, you are in me, verse 20, and then I am in you.
Mm.
That's like, that should get all of us as followers of Jesus a wow factor.
Yeah.
Wow, that's so cool.
Yeah, absolutely. If you reflect on the majesty of the Father and then the nature of Jesus, you know, God made flesh, and the Holy Spirit is connecting us to this divinity. And it's related to prayer too. Ask for anything in my name and I will do it. And then right after that, I will ask the Father and he will give you an advocate who will never leave you so that you know what to pray for.
Yes.
So that you're able to love Jesus and obey his commandments. It seems like the Holy Spirit is crucial to both of these things, you know?
Oh, absolutely.
To knowing Jesus, loving him, obeying him, and knowing how to pray.
I think the Spirit does give us insight into knowing how to pray. And even Scripture tells us, Paul says, even when we don't know how to pray, the Holy Spirit groans on our behalf. There's intercession that takes place, I believe, in the throne room of heaven that is a fragrance to our Father of our prayers. And the Holy Spirit is very vital in that role.
Yeah.
And he gives us insight on what to pray or when to pray. Or then all of a sudden we're going throughout our day and we get this little, hey, what about so-and-so? Pray for them.
Mm.
And then that's the Holy Spirit saying, pray for that person.
Yeah.
And
hear people say that a lot. Hey, I was doing this, then God told me to go back. God told me to pray for him. Anytime that's happening, that's the Holy Spirit.
That's the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And that's advocacy, right? That's the Holy Spirit saying, hey, I'm looking out for you. I want your brother or sister in Christ to pray for you now. Mm-hmm. Boom. And they put it on our hearts and we pray for them.
Yeah.
And we hear that story, you know, of international work coming back and saying, you know, I was going through this dangerous part of town at this time. But my coworkers told me, oh, there was a whole gang ready to jump you. They said, well, it didn't happen. Why? Because so-and-so was praying for them. That's the advocacy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Know, looking out for your best interest.
And revealing truth, right? So
Yes. Anything
that we can come to understand about God, about our relationship to God and our existence in the kingdom is through the knowledge that the Holy Spirit gives. He's leading us into all truth. It seems like the Holy Spirit is functionally the person who is doing the revealing, you know, who is quickening our minds, helping us to understand and see what we haven't seen before. And that's really important, you know, for a disciple. It depends on your affiliation and denomination and upbringing, how central the doctrine of the Holy Spirit or relationship with the Holy Spirit was for you.
Yes.
Different churches have different levels of emphasis, I would say. Many churches de-emphasize the Holy Spirit because it seems maybe unstable or uncontrollable, you know, and they like more, well, God is a God of order. And anytime we see this Holy Spirit stuff, it seems kind of disordered. So they maybe push back against it. Never, they don't deny it, but they functionally deny it because they're like, let's just de-emphasize. Other churches swing very far the other direction. And they're like, man, if we're not talking about the Holy Spirit, we're not talking about God. And so depending on where you come from and your background, you might be more or less comfortable with different ways of experiencing or talking about the Holy Spirit. But he's present in Scripture. And I think it's something that as disciples, we have to reckon with.
Oh, absolutely. And I think if we're involved in modern worship today, and we attend a church, I think, and if you are a child of God, a follower of Christ, because his Spirit takes up residency in your life, you know when the Spirit is moving. Mm-hmm. You know when he's active. You know when he's working. So when you walk in and you partake of that worship environment, you know, you're allowing the Holy Spirit to speak to you, to minister to you and through you so that you may edify others in Christ and build them up in the faith.
Yeah.
And so thankful that Jesus didn't leave us as orphans, but that he gave us the Holy Spirit.
And it says he lives in you.
Yeah,
you know?
He lives.
It's the closest connection that we have to God. It's yes. not on a page. It's not a story in history. It's a present spirit, like
amen,
commingling with our spirit. That's a nearness that we can experience. I don't know about you, but sometimes I have felt the Holy Spirit when I start down a path in my mind that is unhealthy or unhelpful. When I start to like really criticize another person or start to judge them, I start to recognize there's something that comes up in me that feels like it's not part of me. It feels like it's from without, but it's actually from within. It's just like a check in my spirit that, you right. know what, this isn't the right path to go.
Right. Right.
Now, I don't always listen to that, but I think the fact that I even noticed that is evidence of the Holy Spirit working in my life.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Oh, I think so. Definitely. That's the Spirit of God saying, mm-hmm. okay, I'm going to provide a way of escape for you. You know, lean into me, trust me, listen to my instruction. I'm going to lead you into truth, which is deliverance at this moment.
Yeah.
And so you experience the mercies and the forgiveness of God. We have to attune our ear to the Lord's voice more. You know, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice and they know me.
Yeah, this is a great passage. Well, Ted, as you know, you and I are both songwriters. We're both musicians. And today on the podcast, we're going to listen to some songs that we've written and yes. chat about them. So let's start with yours.
Dark of the night, when no one else is around, and I'm overwhelmed by the painful sound of my heart crying out, praying that you hear what's on my mind, what's in my soul. How I wish that you would show me what to do as I follow you to take me to the light. In the dark of the night, da 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 da. Lead me to the light, da 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 da. Now I know that you are near to those who call on your name in fear, in reverence, bowing in prayer for your glory to be. As your love lights the way, and all my fears are washed away, and everything in me sings praise, for you have made me whole in the dark of the night. La 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 la, la 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 la. You're my guiding light. La 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 la, la 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 la. Shine, reveal your glory, and shine, that all may see your light. Shine, reveal your glory, shine. Dark of the night, da 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 da, da 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 da. Lead me to the light, la 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 la, la 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 la. You're my guiding light.
All right. So that was In the Dark of the Night by Ted O'Farrell.
In the Dark of the Night.
Tell us about your song, Ted.
Well, that one was written, you can see it on Bandcamp. It was March 2011, I think. But we were able to share it in a couple of chapels at Trinity College of Florida. And, you know, at the time, it was so funny. There were a bunch of YouTube videos going on. Well, you got to have this element in a song or this element in the song. You know, some of it was like, well, if you have the la-la-las, you know, you got to have that in the song.
Yeah.
Or if you, oh, you're fire or hell. Now, I don't have fire and hell in this song. But
wait, they wanted to have la-la-las and fire and hell?
Oh, yeah. You got to have it all so you can have a hit song.
Okay.
You know, a hit song. There's certain elements.
We can write one. La-la-la.
Yeah. La-la-la.
Fire and hell.
Yeah, something
that's the
like that.
Next thing.
Yeah. So anyway, when you think about in the middle of the night praying, you know, you think, well, I'm all alone. I'm to my own thoughts and so forth. But as a follower of Jesus, I know that God is present. And I know he understands the painful sound of my heart crying out. Relating that to our passage that we looked at, praying that you hear. Jesus said, if you ask anything in my name,
yeah,
praying that you hear what's on my mind, what's in my soul. And then the guidance, the instruction, the advocate coming, he's going to lead me into truth. How I wish that you would show me what to do as I follow you to take me to the light. And that's that total dependence, that total desperation, saying, Jesus, I need you. Holy Spirit, I need your guidance. I need your insight, especially in this dark moment. I need the Lord to lead me.
Yeah.
And so when I discover that light, then I got the joy of singing la 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 la,
yeah,
right? Which is great.
Yeah, being able to sing la 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 in the middle of a darkness or a dark moment. That's great.
Yeah.
No, I like the song a lot, Ted. I like how catchy it is. I like that it's just your voice and the guitar, because then both of those things really shine. You know, when you're not singing, we're really just hearing the guitar and it's crisp and nice. And then your voice really stands out because there's not a lot of other stuff going on, which is great. You've got a great tone and a great voice. Plus, it's pretty catchy. I also really like the structure of the song. You kind of mentioned it already, but the first verse is talking about crying out and in that dark moment, what I wish you would do, God. And then the second verse is confidence. I know that you are near, right?
Yes.
This is what you do. When I bow and pray, your love lights the way. My fears are washed away. You've made me whole. That's a cool sequence, you know, to go from here's what I wish you would do, and here's this moment, here's what I wish you would do, and then here's what I know to be true. And then in the bridge, you know, calling on him to reveal his glory, which that's what the Holy Spirit does. It reveals the truth of who Christ is. It reveals his glory and our connection to him. I think all of that's really present in this. It's great. I also really like the rhyme because it's not just a straight A-B-A-B. It's actually a pretty creative rhyme scheme throughout, which makes it fun to listen to.
Yeah. Well, it's trying to get that melody and that rhythm to all match kind of thing.
Yeah.
Lord was good on that. And you look at the Psalms on the structure, you've seen that, where David begins his journey and he's crying out. He's saying, this is it, you know, whatever the issue is, you know, forgive me, don't abandon me, I feel all alone. And then all of a sudden the Psalm changes where he says, Lord, you are with me, you're my shield, you're my rock, you know, you're my fortress, you know, I have victory in you, your presence is here, thank you, you know, that kind of thing. So that kind of was the design of that.
Yeah, that's really neat. Yeah. And it does remind me of the Psalms. And actually, the song that I'm going to share, I think has something in common with that, with what we're talking about, an expression of the trouble and then also a confidence in the promise.
Lord. Cool. Let's hear your song.
Being saved from all I've done, you call out.
lift my burdened soul. For the truth is, I am alive and whole. Break the lies that make me feel bound, for I am free and my hope is sound. Come fill this place as I proclaim that you are Savior. I'm the one who's being saved from all I've done. You call, I answer, have your way. I'm not alone and I am not afraid.
Wow, that was great. Comforter. So tell me a little bit, Christian, about how that song came about.
I found when I lived in China, one of the main ways that I connected with the Lord was through songwriting. And I would usually write 15 to 20 songs a year in the summertime when I had a break from teaching and sometimes a break from ministry because all the students were gone. I would take a week and record. I would go to one of our coworkers' houses. They were away for the summer, you know, they were on vacation. It would be like my little mini vacation, and I would take my mic and my little interface and my computer and my guitar. I would just knock out as much as I could. You know, I'd written the songs all throughout the year. And then it was kind of like a way to close out the school year is I would record all these songs, and then I would probably produce about 10 to 12 of them where I would actually focus on those. And then I would share those with the staff, share those with the other workers, you know, because they had gone through the same experiences. We had been studying the same scriptures together and doing the same ministry together. So then, you know, I would share the songs with them. And it was a great audience for the songs, to be honest, because they understood. So that was my practice for basically every year that we were in China. I don't have all of those albums, you know, posted anywhere, but I did sort of a collection of the worship songs that I felt sounded good and were more, you know, universal, not just specific to our time in China.
So in the depths and the archives of Christian Sadak, there's at least 100 songs.
Oh, at least.
At least.
100 of those that, secret songs that only...
Secret songs that's that only, you know?
What do they call them? The underground tracks?
Yeah.
Only my coworkers got the real underground stuff.
I tell you what, I can't wait to dive into that. I got to find the combo to the safe.
Yeah.
That's super good.
But so we
that's
wrote great. This one and, you know, it was a worship song we would sing together. And it really, you know, Comforter, it's just the title is, it's about the Holy Spirit and it's about our relationship with Him and relying on Him, I suppose.
Yeah, the similarities between the two songs, we both start out in a sense of need, a brokenness, I need eyes to see the expansion of your kingdom. And I loved it. I loved the production and I don't know how you did it, but man, it sounded great.
It's pretty good for a living room.
That's pretty good for a living room. That's excellent. And just the arrangement of it. And of course, when you had Ashley sing, It would just remind me, our friend, good friend, we have a good friend who's a worship leader in the Panhandle, Tony Middleton. When he does a recording, he always wants a female singer to sing and echo. And it just brings this, no pun intended, this comfort to the song. That was excellent.
Ashley does have such a great voice, and she's really good at, she can lead very well too, but she's one of the best people I know at backing up, like meeting the sound. She's just very, very good at that. So she also played keys on this, which was nice, added something to it.
Yeah.
And I thought
who played bass?
I did everything else.
You did bass?
Yeah, I would do the bass.
Excellent bass, I think. And I love how it is singable, worshipful. It is a prayer in song. You echo that in the middle of, I am not afraid, I'm not afraid. And you know, when the Holy Spirit shows up in our lives and we sense the presence of God, even in our brokenness, man, we can confidently say, I'm not afraid. And it just cries out, even Psalm 23, you know, I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because God's with me. The Holy Spirit's with me.
Hmm.
And that's beautiful how that translates. And even the echo worship, freedom is now, salvation is now. You know, true freedom is in that relationship with Jesus, the filling of the Holy Spirit, walking in the Spirit, living in the Spirit, loving in the Spirit. Man, I can preach on that.
Hmm.
And that is just beautiful.
There's a quote from Andrew Murray that I like where he talks about humility. And he says, humility is knowing who we are in light of who God is.
Hmm.
Understanding that we are not God, but also we're not nothing. You know, God calls us valuable. And that's a true understanding of humility.
Yeah.
So I think in that first verse, I'm saying, I need eyes to see the expansion of your kingdom. I believe in the expansion of your kingdom, but I need you to help me see that. That's something the Holy Spirit can do, is awaken us to a deeper reality.
Yes.
I need eyes to see that. And I need eyes to see who I am in light of your love. What's my part in this? Because sometimes we don't see it. It's in moments of brokenness, or like in your song, in the dark of the night, we don't see it. And the Holy Spirit is that light to focus and to show us. And so then the chorus is this response, right? It's, who is God and who am I? He's the Savior. I'm the one who's being saved.
Yes.
And I really like to reflect on that.
That chorus, I'm the one who's being saved from all I've done. I mean, Jesus is our Savior. And man, he has done that. He's rescued us and is saving us from all I've done.
Mm.
His forgiveness and his grace and his presence and his mercies.
Yeah. The guidance of the Holy Spirit, the truth of the Holy Spirit, the comfort of the Holy Spirit, he is available
to
every disciple, you know, of Jesus. And that's something we can rely on him for, we can call on him for, and we can come to rely on that aspect of who God is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then the second echo, when your words like water fill my spirit, I'm satisfied and content.
Mm-hmm.
Like a river washing over, hope defines my unearthed soul. That alludes to, you know, as we dwell in the presence of the Holy Spirit, fruit's going to happen.
Mm.
There's going to be growth. It's going to be God showing you the expansion of his kingdom and who you are. And that's exciting.
Amen. Both of the songs featured on our episode today can be found at Bandcamp. You can go to teddyofarrell.bandcamp.com and pilgrimhouse.bandcamp.com for those songs and a lot more. Thanks for joining us on the Zephyr Hills Alliance Church podcast. We're glad you're here, and we want to invite you to subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. All of our content is produced in-house by the ZAC Media team. If you want to connect with us further, find us on Facebook and visit our website, zaccma.org.